right, Red Wings fans, we're back for another week after a week to recover there from the Firm to Hockey Town festivities. It's Chris Hollis back here on the Obstructed View, and I'm hanging out with the sweet crew this week. We've got Joe Burkle from Red Wings Guy. Joe, what's going on, bud?
Man, I'm enjoying this next couple of weeks because the Red Wings are going to pump it up here, and we're going to go strong into the playoffs, man. I'm excited.
The playoffs. Many weeks ago, so many of us worried about not making the playoffs. It is a reality. We're going to touch on that a little bit later, but I can't forget to introduce the rest of the group. From over at the Triple D, a guy I actually got to hang out with quite a bit in Detroit, it's Tyler. Tyler, what's going on, bud?
I'm surprised you remember that.
How could I forget hanging out with you? I don't.
You see, we're gone. There was legitimate concern among us in our small little corner. Is his house all right?
It's all right, dude. The beard has magical powers, my friend. Magical powers that keep me focused and going, even when it doesn't. Thank you. I do my best. But yes, it's good hanging out with the entire Triple Deke squad there. We had Fake Herm and we had Brent there too. It was, quite the experience. It was life changing. And it, as some may say, I enjoyed myself very much. But another person that we got to hang out with from Bingo Bango, it's Jess. Jess, what's going on?
Not much. I'm good. After corralling my rattlesnake, I've made it here to the Obstructed View this Monday, so things are good.
Yes. And she doesn't mean that in a dirty way, folks. She actually had a rattlesnake in the garage down there.
I walked into that one.
In the wilds of Arizona. Yeah, I heard that you just ran out on it?
No,
shut the garage.
I got my rattlesnake capturing posse together, which basically consisted of everyone who would answer the door. We stared at the snake for a while, ended up shutting the garage door, and left the problem for later. So pretty much I handled it well. I realized that definitely a fighter, not a flighter. So,
yeah. Oh, there you go. It's the, that's the way I don't know if I could have handled it any differently. I would have probably just screamed and run away, but you know, that's what happens. And now the scorpions apparently invading your house too. Is this correct?
Yeah. I'm starting to question this whole Arizona thing.
Yeah.
It's like the Wild West out here, for fuck's sake.
Apparently it is. It's like one thing after another. And then you said you had some allergies going on. Like, what's going on here? You're a mess.
Yeah, it should be interesting with me today. I'm hopped up on some different prescriptions, so we'll see how this goes.
I'm talking about, and we won't even talk about what I'm hopped up on, but it's going to be awesome. we'll call it playoff spirit, folks. It's going to be good. Speaking of which, the Red Wings come through the weekend and not so good form. They actually, after winning 7 in a row, the Wings struggle. They go down in overtime to the Predators in Detroit on Saturday. Excuse me, lose to the Flyers yesterday in Philadelphia and make the playoffs. They back their way into the playoffs like the true champions that we are. We wind up in somehow getting in and getting it done. And we joke, guys, but 2 months ago, the playoffs were something that were definitely in question, and here we stand. So, Tyler, I'll start with you, man. How are you feeling about the way things have gone so far? We got the playoff berth locked up. How are you feeling, man?
I feel good. It's kind of relieving. It's the first time we've had a stretch of two losses where we weren't really freaking out, worrying about the playoff picture. So, I don't know. It didn't seem too much concern coming from these past two games. We got the Blue Jackets coming up twice, which it's okay if we overlook them and if we take them lightly, as long as the guys don't. So.
No, I hear you. I think the same thing. It's how lightly are they going to take it? What's going to happen? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. We got 3 games left. I know I'm ready for the playoffs to start now. Joe, what about you, though, man? How are you feeling after this weekend and kind of tripping our way into the playoffs?
You know what, man, I feel really good, and ask my wife, I'm the first one to toot my own horn, tell everyone that I'm right. But, you know, I was on the show in January, and when everyone was in deep, dire attitude, and I was saying the Wings were going to finish as the 6th spot, I think I almost got laughed at after the show. I said the 6th spot, and everyone's like, oh, we're lucky we didn't make it. You know, we're in the 6th spot. We probably could have gotten to the 5th spot if we would have won the last 2 games, but I don't know if Osby's going to have to start another game here to give Howard some more room. If he does, that's an automatic loss. And not to be tough, I mean, you want to cut this guy some slack because, you know, he's had a great career, and this year he checked in. I mean, he checked out a long time ago after the playoffs last year, and he can't stop anything. My God. I mean, the first goal yesterday was like, what? Are you even aware the game even started?
Well, let's be honest here. Daniel Carcillo is a goal scorer's goal scorer, folks. I mean, this guy knows how to get it done.
He went through his glove.
It was Shea Weber-esque with that popper, and he just put it right through his glove. I mean, yeah, no, God almighty. Hey, I'm not going to pin it all on Osgood.
No, I'm not going to pin it all on Osgood either. I'm just saying, you know, but he's going to have to start at least one more game to give Howie some breathing room here. And the Blue Jackets are going to play strong. The Blackhawks might just take the last game off. Who knows? But if we get two wins, I'll be happier in those last three games.
Well, Babcock's already said, you know, coming into when we got into the last four games, he said that Osgood was going to start two of the last four. So we can expect to see him. It'll be interesting to see which ones he gets or if he gets more now that we have locked it up. Jess, I don't know. What do you think? How are you feeling about the playoff run here or moving into the playoffs?
Well, number one, let me just say, I think Tyler's perfectly calm about the whole situation because he still is hypnotized by that wonderful scent of Henrik Zetterberg. but since I didn't have that experience, I feel pretty good about it, especially once they get into the playoffs and Howard will be in net and, you know, Abdelkader will be back. And I don't know. I feel confident, which I didn't think would happen.
Right. Yeah, that guy, Abdelkader, Brad May, he'll be back. The Black Aces, we're gonna trot them out, get them out at practice, and it's good. You know, I wrote today on the blog that at this point I don't even care about the last three games. They can do whatever the hell they want to do. If we lose all three, whatever, I'm fine with it. Just because
it's
what's that? Oh yeah, right. No.
Yeah, I'm not okay with that.
I'm fine with it. And I'm honestly, and I mean it, guys. I mean it. I am okay if we lose the last three because now is the time for the Wings to make sure that like Joe Boo or whoever, man, just get him clear of that team as we move into the playoffs. You know, Cleary has said his groin is not going to be 100% the rest of the season. All right. So Dan Cleary should probably not play. That's just my honest assessment. Sure, the guy scored a goal, had an assist against Philadelphia. Whatever, man. Sit his ass down. Don't even worry about him. Cause we don't need him getting hurt in the first round. But you look at somebody like Osgood. You know, we've said Osgood needs these games and he needs that to get that rust off. Man, this is the opportunity. Put him in. I think, you know, you owe Howard at least a game, but I'm fine if they come out and they just work on the small things and start fine-tuning it and get those line pairings the way they want them for the playoffs. And we happen to lose three games, hey, I'm all right with that. I know that. I'm like, I'm about to be, you know, strung up here by my fingernails, man. But,
I mean,
I'm good with
that. That'd be five in a row going into the playoffs, you know.
Right. Well,
there's
just make sure you got
your maths right. Jess, what was that?
There has to be some reason for concern. Five games in a row losing, nothing.
Here's
no concern.
No, why be concerned though? Is the thing like
well,
this is like sure.
If they played like they played in Philly or even in Nashville, I'd be a little concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't their best games. Now, if they played a good game and they lost for you know bad bounces, that's one thing, whatever. But if I didn't see the effort there, then I'd be concerned.
Well, and I think that's what you know. You look at. We're talking about the effort-wise, sure. The Philly game, I mean, it was Brandon Worley from the hockey on NBC. He was tweeting from over there, and he was saying, you know, this team just looks like they're tired and they're rolling over. And I think we all saw that. That team was tired coming off of an overtime game with Nashville the day before, and then you have to play again on national TV in an early game. The team just looked tired. So, yeah, that I totally agree with. But the way if they stumble down the stretch, I don't think they'll lose all three. I really don't. You're playing two against Columbus, and then you got one against Chicago, who is probably going to start shelving people.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they lose, that's fine. Like, I just don't have a problem with it. We saw the seven-game win streak, and I'll be honest. When they hit the seventh game, they beat Columbus. In my head, I looked at it and said, you know what? I feel like this is it. Like, they have peaked now because that third period against Columbus was no good. It was no good. They gave up bad chances. They just didn't look like they were checked in. They peaked a little early. Chicago, on the other hand, kind of stumbled for a week or two, and now they're on the upslope. And the question is, Chicago, can they carry it into the playoffs? I think the Wings just have that built-in ability that even if they were to lose these three, which I don't think they will, but if they were, they can flip the switch and make it happen as soon as the puck drops in the playoffs.
But. Exactly, yeah. I wrote about the same exact thing today is that, you know, this team is so solid. They have so much veteran leadership and just, I mean, they've been together for so long now and they're so healthy that they literally have no more excuses anymore. I mean, they are a complete team right now. They're back to where they should have been if they would have been healthy all year long. So there's no reason why they shouldn't be beating the teams that they need to beat. But same time, like I said, if you need to start Osgood one or two games and sit a couple other guys, then it's okay if you lose two or three of these games.
That'd be my only worry about if, you know, it took so long to get everybody back and then to get the train rolling again that if they did stumble, three in a row is pretty extreme, but, you know, even if it was like two or three and they just overall didn't play that well, I hope they don't feel like they had hit a wall, like they had come so far to win seven, eight in a row, whatever it was, and they feel like they got to jumpstart themselves one more time before the playoffs start. But I think that might be more important for Chicago since, you know, you know, this is a bit of a first for them. What seed were they last year? I don't remember.
Oh, Chicago, weren't they in a four? They were 4-5 matchup last year against Calgary, if I remember.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, against Calgary, that's right.
And so, you know, definite favorite this year. They're going to want to hop on as soon as they can. So I think it's more of a bigger deal for them. Maybe they will go all out that last game of the season.
They could. It's interesting. I think, honestly, when you look at it, I think the Wings will win two of their last three. I think they're just too talented to not win those games. I don't know that we're going to see so much of – I think we'll see some reduced ice time for some of the guys, obviously. I think Cleary will probably play a little bit less unless he's feeling real good because I do agree with you, Tyler. I think he does need to get out there and kind of get that groove back. He's missed a few games, but he looked good yesterday. Now can he maintain it? It'll be interesting to see what they do. And the other thing that we got to look at here, two guys moving along here, is that – we are in the midst of figuring out who we're going to play. Obviously, we're sitting right now in the sixth spot. We're trailing Nashville. They control their own destiny. If they win out, they will take that five spot. I do believe I think we're actually we're 2 points behind them or something like that. We've got one game in hand. But even if we tie it, they've got the wins on us. And then Los Angeles sits behind us right now with the game in hand, and they're only a point back. So I think it's safe to assume we're clear of that eight spot. I can't imagine that we would fall all the way back. So when you look at the situation, guys, it looks like it's going to either be Chicago, Vancouver, or Phoenix. And obviously everybody's been talking about who are we going to get? Who are we going to get in the first round? Who do you want to play? Who are we worried about? You know, Petrella was on the good old hockey show this weekend saying he's worried about Vancouver. I personally don't have a problem with Vancouver. So I'll pose it to you guys, and we'll start with you, Jess. Chicago, Vancouver, or Phoenix, who do you want to see in the first round?
I want to see Phoenix just so I can go to some playoff games.
I knew that was coming. You and Mike Servin both want to see this matchup against Phoenix.
Yeah, but that's for a selfish reason. But in all honesty, I really don't care. I think it's too hard to decide how a whole seven-game playoff series could play out. I mean, look what Anaheim was last year. So I'll take anyone. I feel confident. Bring it on. But I would like Phoenix.
Please, pretty please, so she can go to a game and get out of her house with the snakes and the scorpions. Now, here's a question. Speaking of Phoenix, while we're on it, have you actually ever seen a coyote, like, running around out there?
Oh, absolutely. They run down the street and everything. They look like little homeless dogs.
Do you name them Jovanovsky or Doan or, like, what, like
my little Shane Doan.
Yes, Toby. Really? Shane Doan? Maybe that was Shane Tyler's Doan. Name for him, but
you know,
Shane Doan's a well-kept man. He doesn't look like a scraggly coyote.
No. I'm more scared. We used to live on a golf course, and they would come in packs and run around there and howl in the morning. So I'm really not a huge fan of the Phoenix wildlife.
So badass.
That sounds like it.
I know. I was just about to ask, are you actually talking about the animals, or are you talking about the hockey team?
Both. It depends on the time of year. Sometimes Shane Doan is howling at the moon. I don't know. It's weird. It's a little creepy, but I'd like to see Phoenix in the playoffs.
Phoenix.
Chicago probably actually makes me the most nervous. But
why is that?
I think probably because of their offensive power, but if Huguet keeps playing like he does, then they really shouldn't be too much of a problem.
Our good friend Cristobal Huguet there. He's been shelved recently. Looks like Antti Niemi is the guy that's getting kind of hot right now for that team. Mm-hmm. But
I don't.
It'll be interesting to see. What was that?
I don't think he'd be the starter, though. I think they'd go back to Huey. I think they'd give him a shot.
You're sticking with Huey.
I really do.
You need to get a direct line into Joel Quenneville, then. And I'm okay with Huey and that. That's for sure. That's for sure. Joe, let me pass it over to you. Who are you out of those three?
Who would you
want to see the Wings?
Well, if you would have asked me about a month ago, I would have said at least the one team I wouldn't want to face would be the Blackhawks, just because they're hungry. They have something to prove against Detroit. They like to say that they're the new Red Wings of the NHL. But any team that has any kind of question and net going to the playoffs is doomed. And, mm-hmm. If Huey, is struggling like he has been on and off, he can look really good and then he can just disappear. Any team going to the playoffs, we all know at this juncture, your number one spot is goaltending. Out of those three teams right now, I'd rather take Chicago. Mm-hmm. Catch them by surprise. Okay. Start UA, shoot right at them. Make them, get scatterbrained and go right after them. Like I said, if you asked me a month ago, I would have said, probably Phoenix. But, right now, just give us Chicago right away. Mm-hmm. And also, it's personal. They're not the Red Wings. They're the Blackhawks. Let's face it. We're the Red Wings.
Ah, the little brother. So you want a shot to put little brother in place, huh?
Yes, yeah. Put him back in his place.
Well, and that's interesting. You look at them, the Blackhawks, they've locked up their first ever, I believe, Central Championship. They won, a divisional a while ago when they had all those crazy names. Was it the Norris Division? I can't even remember.
Norris, yep. The good old Norris, North Stars, yeah.
So they've won the Norris before. This is their first in the Central now. But, Joe, we'll stick with it here. How much added pressure does that put on this team?
I think it's a lot of pressure, and that's why you want to go after them right away, because not only do they have something to prove themselves, but, they were the odds are favorite when he signed all the free agents last year, and I'm going to tell you, if I'm going to take our goaltending right now over theirs, and Howard's healthy and Howard's playing and it's not as good, I'll take our goaltending over theirs any day. And we know our players will come alive, they'll rise up when it comes to playoffs, and we can shoot with the best of them. So I'm not worried about that. I'm saying go after the team that has a questionable goaltending right now.
Fair enough. I can definitely get behind that. I can see that. I'd love to see Huey, man. He's been a kind of a sieve there for them most of the season, and he's very up and down. But Tyler, I'm going to throw it to you. Chicago, Vancouver, Phoenix, who you want to see?
Well, sorry about that large bang if you heard that. I'm going after a horsefly here. My basement. And yes, I am actually in my basement just to fulfill the entire.
So it's not a joke. It's not a joke.
No, I'm literally in a basement right now for a blog's podcast. This is pretty sad, but I kind of agree with Jess that the line is so thin between the three that the only one I was really chomping at the bit for was San Jose, and in all likelihood, that's not going to happen. So I'm just going to let that go. And since the line's so thin, I'd rather just face the Blackhawks for travel reasons. Especially the first round, having to fly out to the West Coast seemingly every year, that just blows. So, and they're gonna have. I think the Blackhawks are gonna have the most pressure out of the three to do something right away, especially if they get their arch nemesis Red Wings in the first round. So,
The travel equation is one that we always get into at some point in the playoffs when we're forced to head out to Anaheim or Calgary or wherever we need to go. It's something I actually hadn't really thought about, but it does make good sense.
I don't really want to see the whiteout either. I assume they'll be doing that. Memories of 98 and that scary ass series. So,
oh yes. It's I don't know, guys. I look at it like this. For me, it's Vancouver. I'd love to play the Canucks, and I just think that they could potentially be the most dangerous team out there just for the simple fact that the Sedins are ridiculously good. Michael Samuelson is actually putting pucks on net, and it's amazing when he's not hitting the top of the glass what can actually happen with that slap shot. But, he's had a great season, and Luongo, for better or for worse, he's a gold medal winning goaltender. But I think that the key there is that I don't know that Luongo can hold up to the Wings pressure in a 7-game series. I think that that team is just so erratic across the board that the defense is questionable, that, if you can shut down the Sedins for one game in Vancouver, I think you can steal one in Vancouver. You got to like your odds coming home. We look at the series against the Canucks this year. I think we finished 3-1 against them. The only loss was a bad one. It was a 6-3 loss, but we were fresh off of the Olympic break. So, but you look at the other teams too. It's not like we did terrible against everybody else. I think we split with Phoenix at some point. I know there's some overtime losses in there. And then, we got one left against Chicago, and I think we're 2-2-1 against Chicago this year. So, honestly, I'm kind of with Jess here. Just bring on whoever. I think bring on whoever, because for the first time that I can remember, we're going to go into one of these series as the lower seed. We're going to start the playoffs on the road, which never seems to happen, and we're going to be an underdog. There's no pressure. There's no pressure like Chicago has being the division champion and being, you know, christened since day one to win this thing. And you look at Vancouver, is the expectations are always high that they're going to get it done, and this is supposed to be one of their best years and all the good things that are happening there. And then there's Phoenix, who – Phoenix worries me a little bit just because they're upstart and they don't really have a whole lot to lose either. So I don't know. For me, it's Vancouver. Plus, you know, maybe I can sneak up to Vancouver for a game. It's only a few hours away from here. So I will pull the Jess card here and be like, selfish card. I wouldn't mind going to a game, but, you know, we'll have to see. But anyway you look at it, though, I think that they're going to come out rare. And I think that there will be no four-game series for the Red Wings this year. They've got the talent to sweep somebody, I think, but they're just a little too erratic across the board to actually make it happen. But that said, I'm just happy we're in the playoffs at this point. I'm happy we're there. We made it. We were all concerned, and here we are, ready for the 19th straight trip to the postseason.
That's
which
so
is,
stupid.
Which is,
isn't, 19 what? Years.
Right? 19. Good Lord. 19. There's 19 years. And,
good number.
And that's some dude that's apparently pretty important in Detroit, actually. I guess, wear that number at some point, but, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It could be the magic year, but we touched on it a little bit, guys. There's three games to go here. We've got Columbus, and then we get Columbus, and then we get Chicago again. We're sitting there, we're looking at the last three games. We've touched on it. I've said I'm fine with three losses. Everybody else kind of ragged on me a little bit. But let's talk about what do we think is going to happen in those three games. And we actually got a question from Pete on Twitter. He wanted to know, like, what do you guys think is going to happen? Do you expect that the Wings are going to rest players, or is this an opportunity to do that, or do we go out and do we go as hard as we can and maybe sneak that five seed out? I don't know. How important is it, and what factors are important to you? Joe, I'm going to start with you.
You know what? I think it really depends how they do this next game. In my opinion, they'll probably start Osgood. If they win this game, start Osgood again. Let Howard start the last game, kind of going back into the second season here. But as long as we get one win out of these three games, I don't want to lose all three of them. That would be bad. So you don't want to roll in 6-7 losses out of, you know, last seven games. And, you know, as long as we get one win out of these three games, I'll be happy. Because I don't think it's that important right now at this juncture. Because we're talking about right now, you know, us facing these three teams, there isn't a lot of difference. So it doesn't matter really where we lay at the end of the season here. So as long as we win one of these last three games, I'm good.
Especially
if we can get Osgood, two starts out of Osgood, that would be really, really nice.
All right, so two out of Osgood, and we'll look at it like this, and I'm going to kind of build off that, and I'm going to go to you, Jess, and say, if you have to pick one of these three games, if we're going to win one of them, which one do you want us to win and why? What is the most important game over the last three for the Red Wings?
Well, I'd like to see us win the Chicago game just because I think it's always fun to beat up on your little brother. And I think it's good to kind of fuck with them a little bit before the playoffs, have them lose to the Wings, especially if we meet them in the first round. So it's the most important game to me.
That would be interesting, playing your last game against Chicago, and then all of a sudden, hey, let's turn around, and we may go seven more with you. Eight games in a row against Chicago would be wild. That would be wild. I don't know. Tyler, what about you, though, man? These last three, is there one that stands out in your mind that you want to win? Is there something you're expecting to see from the Wings that will give you some hope or kind of dictate how you feel about the playoffs?
Just one. I can only pick one. If I had to pick one for them to
Gun win. To your head. Gun to your head, and I said one.
Gun to my head. Well, I just peed, so. God, it sucks. I just don't want to lose to Columbus. They're just a shitty team. So we got to win those games. And then I'd like to see the game that Ozzy starts again be the final game of the regular season so that, you know, there's no, you know, 6-7 goal aberration game out of Jimmy and then they're all in his head somehow before the playoff starts if we have to face them. So, and
now
if,
let's,
and then if,
that's a good point.
If Ozzy wins, then it's just, I think that'd be a huge confidence boost for the entire team since they haven't won a game with him on the ice since like last year's conference finals. So. Yeah. since last time it mattered that we beat the Hawks.
Right. Wow. Back in the North.
If we could win a game with Ozzy on the ice, and that's in Chicago, right?
It is in Chicago.
Yeah. I think that would be absolutely huge.
Interesting. Which, this is actually a great lead into another question that we got from Robert Gackie over there at Detroit for Life. He wants to know, will Osgood see the ice during the playoffs? And now let's stick with this, Tyler. You're saying, you know, you want Osgood against Chicago. If Osgood wins that game, let's say he gets a win against Columbus and a win against Chicago and it goes 2 in a row. Let's say he just wins 2 in a row. Now all of a sudden, do we have another controversy? Who's getting the nod for game one of the playoffs?
No. Jimmy Howard. Jimmy Howard has won this job. He's started 25 games almost all the way to the end of the season. It is his job.
What if Osgood throws some shutouts? What if he pitches a pair of shutouts?
Then he should apologize to us for creating, for creating such havoc and confusion. That would really mess with Jimmy's head. That would mess with Jimmy's head more than it would a 7-goal game against Chicago.
Right. Well, see, now I'm more worried about the 7 or 8 goal game against Columbus, because remember that happened last year. They hung 8 on us at one point. They rolled Conk Block out there, and he didn't do much, and Osgood didn't do much, and the shit kind of just hit the fan. But yeah, it's an interesting point. I'll pose the question to you guys too, Joe. If Osgood were to come in these last two games, and I know you love Osgood, are you with Tyler? Do you stick with Howard and his 30 some odd wins that he's thrown out in his potential Calder, or do you ride the veteran experience and potential pair of wins into the playoffs on Osgood?
You know, I think he had his chance earlier this year. And like I said before, the last thing you need going into the playoffs is a goalie issue. Howard is the starting goaltender. The guys in front of him know that Howard's the starting goaltender. Even if Osgood started all three games and he got shutouts in all three games, there's no way he's earned to play in the playoffs. Even if Howard just tanks in the first round, Howard's your goalie of the future. I mean, Ozzy's done. If Ozzy's in back next year to finish out his contract, I'll be surprised. But, you know, no, it's Howard's job now. Unless Howard gets hurt
Ugh, bite your tongue.
Or, you know, abduct him or something, or Ozzy abducts him and... You know, there's no way that...
Well, that's creepy, because now I'm thinking about Ozzy's little...
Man,
his little shed. Yeah.
There's no way he's going to get any playing time in the playoffs.
Okay. No playing time for Ozzy. What about you, Jess? What do you got for us?
Yeah, how can I build off that? I hope not. Something really bad happened if that's going to be taking place, because let's be honest, realistically, he'll probably start a Columbus game. And if for some reason he makes it into the playoffs, we're probably shitting our pants and in a pretty bad situation.
There it is. Bad situation indeed. I have to agree. I can't imagine that you roll Osgood out there for Howard unless, and God almighty, we've seen this happen before in Detroit where you roll out there, let's say Howard comes in against whoever we're playing, Chicago, Vancouver, Phoenix, and just starts getting smoked. And again, I don't think it'll happen. I think Jimmy Howard's too—he's too cool of a customer. He's a smart guy. He's really come into his own this year. But you know, it's happened before in Detroit. You know, you look at Hasek 2 years ago. He came in and crapped the bed, and Osgood rode in and saved the day. You know, but I think one of the things that we might notice, and it, to me it was a little bit evident, and maybe you guys disagree with this, but I think that defense plays better in front of Howard than it does in front of Osgood right now. And I think we saw that. You know. Very much against the Flyers. The Flowers, Jesus. The Flyers.
As the Penguins.
I know, right? Flower Marc-Andre Fleury. And it's funny, actually. Like I said, the defense, whatever. I think they play better in front of Howard. But, man, did anybody – I was listening to Craig Custance today on the Sporting News, the Sporting News grindcast that they do over there. And they were, I was listening and catching up, and he asked Fleury, and this was, you know, a while ago, something that we missed when the Wings played the Pens and Howard and Crosby kind of got scrappy there at the end of the game. And he asked Fleury about it, and Fleury said, well, I just wish I would have been on the ice. I mean, what a freaking, unbelievable. Could Mark, what do you think, dude? Howard, Fleury, who's going to win in the fight? Who you got?
Howard's been in a fight. He's got fight experience.
Really? He's got a couple. He's got a couple from what I... Yeah, he had one in, he fought Michael Layton, if I remember
correctly.
That's correct. Where did he play at? In Rochester? Is that where he played at? Or was it somewhere else? I don't remember. Whatever. Wherever he played at, he fought Michael Layton and was upset because his parents were at the game and he didn't get to play in front of him because he got thrown out the first 5 minutes. Fleury, whatever, dude. Shut your mouth. Stop pucks.
Yeah, he's all talk.
Not anymore. He is all talk. He's in, that's what you get. Flower. To bring it full circle there, I know I just kind of went off on a tangent, but that's what I do. I'm the host. I'm allowed to do that from time to time. Anyways, getting back on subject here, let's go to some more questions here. One of the other questions, and good Lord, speaking of yesterday's game, the defense, which was not so good yesterday for the Red Wings. And one of the guys that stands out in my mind making his return to the lineup yesterday was Brett Lebda, who was
thank God he
badly,
was
badly out of position on Aaron Asham's goal there. I believe it was the game winner. It stood up to be the game winner. Him and Brad Stewart on that play looked like it was like mini mite hockey, where both guys just kind of went to the puck and every, you know, what the hell was he doing? And I caught loose on Twitter, but man, guys, Lebda gets in finally and throws a stinker out there for sure. So Tyler, to start with you, speaking of, have we seen the last of Brett Lebda? Not only this season, but in a Red Wings uniform.
He deserves a rest. He's, you know.
you mean that 9-game break he took wasn't enough?
Apparently not.
He was too energized. That's why he was trying to get all that energy out. He's running out of position and everything. I don't know. If he doesn't come back, it probably means that Lidstrom is definitely coming back for another year. Mm-hmm. And that, they re-signed Lilia. And, Meech is also up too, right?
Meech is up. He's a restricted free agent.
And I take him over Lebda. So, yeah, I really do hope that was the last of Brett Lebda. It was kind of much, much easier to say today than yesterday, but probably don't want to see Lebda and Osgood on the ice at the same time. After both of his time, so
a car wreck in making.
Yeah,
Joe. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
No, there's no way. I mean, seriously, what would you lose by losing Lebda? I mean, you could take anybody in the NHL at that position, and you wouldn't lose.
You know what? You would lose the high number of turnovers.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
errant passes up the boards.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, there's a number of good things we'd lose with him.
I am scared. I am tentative to say that we've seen the last of him when I feel like that point has come 9 different times in the last 2 or 3 years, including the trade deadline when, you know, we all sat at a computer for 8 hours convinced that he was gone and that he wasn't.
Please.
And then he came back. And then when he was paired with Lilia, he actually wasn't that bad, for that first stretch of games. But Erickson's also looked really good with Lilia too in comparison to how he was at the beginning of the year.
That's the thing.
Taking Erickson over Lebda, so.
Oh, but that's the thing that scares me, dude, is that when Mike Babcock talks about Brett Lebda, he has Stanley Cup Finals experience, and good Lord, I don't give a shit. Man, he's bad. Now here's the question I brought up yesterday, and guys weigh in on this, is that Meech, while maybe not the best defenseman, okay, let's just be honest. Derek Meech has, I thought, played over the last 8 or 9 games very admirably in sliding up and playing up front and just kind of picking up the slack and being the guy that the Wings needed him to be. He just rotated into where they needed him, and that was fine. I understand you want to get Lebda some playing time, but at this point.
Why?
Yesterday's game, just
because that's what you're supposed to. I think that Babcock is kind of like that girlfriend that thinks that like you can change the guy, like she wants to be that guy. You know, Brett Lebda's the bad boy, and you know Babcock is going to be fine. Harness. That's kind of what Samuelson was. Then Sammy got away, so now he's moved on to Brett Lebda.
Oh, Jess. Speaking of as a girl, have you ever had any experiences like this? Is this something that you think can work that Tyler's putting out there?
wow, I don't even really know where to go with that. I think it was more like he just had to find something nice to say. Like when he brings up the Stanley Cup experience, like he's just fluffing his ego a little bit. It's just something nice to say.
Oh my God.
You know, like the positive sandwich. You have like a positive, a negative, and a positive.
But wait
a minute. That portion is bigger.
Are you giving us a lecture about being positive? Is this what's happening right now?
Yeah, because I'm full of sunshine and rainbows. So I'm just trying to spread the happiness.
Oh my God. And that, fine. You want everybody to, you know, for God's sake, it's a professional sport. And it's not like 6-year-olds where everybody gets a turn. I mean, I really don't feel like that. I think this is the case because Babcock set the standard this year with Osgood that not everybody's going to get a turn because Osgood didn't get a turn for 20 some odd games, right? He sat and didn't play. And now all of a sudden you want to put Lebda in there and I get it. Like, man, get the legs moving or whatever, but you have Derek Meach who's played so well. Why not just move him back there? Because you're competing. Like, if you're competing to move up in the standings, like they were talking about, I don't know that Brett Lebda affords you the best opportunity to do so when Meach has been playing well over an 8 or 9 game stretch. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's the crazy talk, but I don't know. I was very frustrated, especially when that fourth goal went in and Brett Lebda was making mistakes that he should have gotten rid of in junior hockey. But what did I know? I'm not the coach. Joe, anything?
Nothing, man. He should be gone. He looks lost. Looks like a deer in headlights.
I'm just saying, he went to Notre Dame. I mean, he's supposed to be smarter. And...
Well, you want to talk about earning your spot? You were just said it right there. Meach has earned his spot. If you're taking the two, we both were saying that Meach and Lebda were kind of the same guy. And Meach has kind of worked his way out of that, and he's kind of become a positional player. He's not phenomenal, but he's not making the mistakes that Lebda does continuously.
Right. Lebda's like 27 years old. He's been on the same team for 4 or 5 years. If he hasn't figured it out now, he can't go somewhere else and
just
all of a sudden, poof, there it is.
It is sad. The other thing I didn't understand, too, when we watched this game yesterday, and Pierre McGuire actually picked up on it. For God's sake, Douche Canoe made a good point. He actually said, you know, I don't understand why why Lidstrom is not playing with Rafalski, because Lidstrom was out there with Stewart at one point when the Wings got, I believe when they almost got scored on, and Stewart actually made a small mistake that almost gave up a goal there, and it raises an interesting point that, you know, at the blog that I do here, I keep track of all these pairings and everything, and Lidstrom and Rafalski are obviously the top pairing in terms of points, but I think they're also the top pairing in terms of trust with each other, and they know what each other is going to do, and then you put out a guy like Stewart with Lidstrom, and it was just that quick that the chemistry got thrown off. I don't understand Stewart and Lebda. They have not played well all season long. Stewart's actually played better with Meach and when he's not playing with Cronwall. Like Stewart, Meach, Stewart, Cronwall are totally serviceable. Lebda just seems to be the rotten apple of the group. I'm sorry, Brett. I'm sure you're a real nice guy, man, but, you know, don't hate on me. But, man, like, thanks, but see ya in my mind. It's frustrating, but why? I don't understand Babcock's pairings at that point. And this is what we talked about, guys. As we go into these last three games, these are the things that we kind of need to work out. And that's, you know, iron out who's going to be playing where, iron out what's going to go on. What are your contingencies? Obviously, Lilja and Eriksson look to be locked in on that third pairing. You got Stewart and Cronwall will play together on the second pairing, and then obviously Lidstrom and Rafalski. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Oh, Brett Lebda, man, he brings out the worst in me. I don't feel good after that discussion. I'm sorry, guys.
Even more than Leno?
I miss Billy Leno, man. I don't. Did you ever see a shaved head? By the way, that was
no, I missed it.
Leno shaved his head and he made some comment that it was very liberating or something. Wow. And he'd been wanting to do for a while. I don't know. He went out to a post game meal with Cronwall and Lidstrom and somebody else, but he also did get blown up there by Brad Stewart at neutral zone, which was pretty sweet. But, hey, what can you do? I do miss the Leno Lounge. I miss picking on him a little bit, but,
salt in the wounds too, from what I saw.
He did, and he actually had an assist on the game winner.
Yeah,
an
assist.
Oh,
he got a point.
Right. Unbelievable. How about Darren Helm though, guys? Darren Helm, Herm's hero, man, getting busted in the nose.
Yeah,
and
He's all right. He's all right in my book.
With his Drago quotes there, man, that guy is Pulling it out. If it's broken, it's broken. I mean, dang, go get some. But, guys, speaking of players that have been playing great, one of the other questions that we actually got was, you know, you look at Pavel Datsyuk and this guy who, I remember we were complaining about him a little bit earlier in the season that he was just kind of, he was doing his Datsukian kind of slow roll through the regular season. He really wasn't picking it up. And a season where the Wings have obviously underachieved on many levels, whether that's from the injuries or whatnot. You look at Datsyuk over the last month and the guy's been playing lights out hockey. He's been wonderful. He's making some great plays. But, you know, I'll start with you on this one, Jess. You look at Datsyuk, and the question is, has he been playing the best hockey of his career over the last month, given the situation that the Wings are in and given the injuries and everything? Is this the best you've seen Pavel Datsyuk play, or has he still got more to show?
I don't know. It's a hard thing to say. I mean, Datsyuk, like any player, he goes through his ups and downs. He's been playing phenomenal recently, but he also has Franzen back and some people that he can make plays to and actually get the puck on net. So I don't know if it's the best hockey he's been playing, but he's been playing really damn well, and it's nice to see. I think with Datsyuk, he always has something extra to pull out, especially come playoff time. So, yeah, I don't know. It's too hard to say. Datsyuk, he's too good to pick when is the best time that Datsyuk's played, but he's playing phenomenal right now, so I'll take it.
Joe, what about you? What do you think?
You know, I don't think it's probably the best he's ever played, but, you know, considering how poorly he played, I won't say poor, but un-Datsyuk-like in the first half of the season, you know.
Un-Datsyukian.
Un-Datsyukian. you know, he wasn't shooting at all in the first half of the season, and we were talking about that before. He had to shoot more, and he's finally shooting more now. He's throwing, and even, you know, he's throwing pucks in front of the net now, and they're bouncing off players. Things are working for him now. But he's actually shooting a puck now, and he's actually got a serviceable line that he can work with now. So that helps a lot. And it's going to just boost his confidence, you know?
Sure.
I think he's definitely got another level. I remember writing last year during one stretch, middle point of the season, when we all started kind of realize that he was going to be an MVP candidate, that he was playing as close to flawless as a human being can play hockey. So, you know, we're going to see just how much more he can add in the next couple of weeks. But points wise, I've liked that he's started to really score a lot of goals. You know, Datsyuk's playing a lot better when he starts shooting and actually scoring goals instead of just trying to set up people all the time.
But you know, it's too lately that it seems like even when he's always moved the puck well, but it seems like now when he's moving the puck on those nice snap wrist shots that he's doing it with much more confidence. You know, in the beginning of the part of the season, he really wasn't doing that. He's just flowing and moving differently, back to the way he should be, you know. He just moves
more confident. He does. And that deke that he put on in the Columbus game the other night with the little spin move and then roofing it over Mason. And then even the one against the first goal against Nashville on Saturday where he was on his ass and he threw it down low and got the pass down there. I mean, what a play. I mean, come on, the guy's ridiculous. I agree. I don't necessarily think he's playing his best hockey of his career right now, but I think as we've moved through this season, he has elevated his game to kind of lead by example. And I agree. I think that you get a guy like Franzen back and it's like instant gratification because the guy, Franzen is a player, man. Franzen is going to be a 50 goal scorer at some point. I'm convinced of it that he's going to get out there. And then Holmstrom, who's been probably playing one of his best seasons that we've seen, at least in the last few years, but if not over his entire career, who's been an absolute pleasant surprise. You know, you put those three together and things happen. There's a reason that this team, that they are the number one power play unit out there right now because they are clicking with Rafalski and Lidstrom. Those five on the ice are as dangerous as anybody else in this league right now. And it helps when Datsyuk has that talent around him too. And it gives him some options and he can shoot and he can feel confident. And I hope he takes it to the next level. Like you were saying, Tyler, man, it would be, it's tough to put the binders on him, but we'll see. He's a hell of a player, though, that's for sure. That said, other players in the Wings organization right now that have been kind of up and down, all over the place, you look at a guy like Bertuzzi, who had a little bit of a mini resurgence over the past 2 weeks when he gets moved onto a line with Filppula and, Zetterberg, and, you know, he's playing well. Drew Miller looked good. You know, he had a goal at home to Hockey Town game against the Wild, and he scored again. I think it was the game before that. One of the other questions we saw is, from our listeners out there is when you look at all of the new additions, and we've talked about this before multiple times on the show, but now that we're at the end of the season, with three games left, we're in the playoffs. After just watching this regular season, when you look at these additions that the Wings brought in, Jason Williams, Drew Miller, Todd Bertuzzi, Patrick Eves, which one do you want to see stay in a Red Wings uniform? If you had to pick one. Hey, you know what? If you have to pick two, we'll say two. Pick two. Good. Who do you want
that
to see
pick
stay
one
in?
Thing is too hard, man.
I know. There's no. Well, questions. let's look at it like this. Obviously, you know, there's going to be some roster moves that are coming up. Hudler may come back. We don't even need to get into that. That's such a mess over there.
It's a whole other podcast.
It is. We could do a whole show on the Hudler saga right now, but there is talk that him and his $2.75 million cap hit could be back in Detroit next year. Or is it $2.85? I can't. It's something along those lines. Almost $3 million cap hit could be back.
Seven.
Something like that. I don't.
Next year is $3 million.
Jesus.
$3 million.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he gets
this year.
Gets
this year $2.75.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So it's roughly 2.8 something in that range. But you look at a guy like him could come back, and you're going to have to re-sign a couple players. Or if he comes back, it cuts down on what we can do in the free agent market. But let's stick with what we have right now. And Tyler, I'm going to start with you. Pick two of those guys that we talked about, of the new acquisitions this season. Which two are you keeping on the Red Wings?
Between Todd.
Let's say Todd, Williams, Jason Williams,
and Drew Miller.
Drew Miller, Patrick Eves, the guys at all, the new ones that came in. Hey, we'll throw Brad May in there for fun if you want to.
Oh, that's fine.
The team leader.
Who will be back? Back at the playoffs. I can't wait.
I swear to God, if he sees a minute of ice time. Patrick Eves is a shoe-in. And, you know, I'm one of the rare people that's a really big fan of the, of Jason Williams' point shot, but I'd have to say Drew Miller. So I think,
wow.
I think if, well, I'm biased and he,
good state.
He,
yeah.
those guys. He just affects the game more, I think.
Sure.
And end of sure. the ice, so.
Sure.
We get rid of Jason.
Before I get into it, I won't even say my point. I'll let everybody else weigh in, and then I'll throw my obviously overbearing point in. But Joe, go ahead.
I'm going to agree. I'm going to say Patrick Eves and Drew Miller, man. Even just the 1 year contract we signed Williams with, we didn't get our money's worth out of him. You know, Miller's going to cost you less in the long run. You know, you're going to have to try to sign one big free agent, not maybe a top tier guy, but you need another nice, not old veteran come in, but on the defensive side. I mean, Lindstrom's going away. If he comes back next year for one more year, like or not, he's going away, and we're going to have to start replenishing that defensive side there. It's already looking really, really thin. And, God, if we could pull off, like, you know, an Eric Johnson, next year I think he's a restricted free agent, but somebody like that where you're going to get, you know, 5-6 years out of him, that's what they really need to look for next year. And you're not going to be able to do that by signing people like Williams, who you're just not getting the money's worth out of.
Look at the turnaround from the penalty kill, too. You have going on a year and a half straight. It was just horrible. And then, yeah, after plugging in Drew Miller there and Patrick Eves.
Yep.
Agreed. I don't know, Jess, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to agree. Obviously, the one person I don't want to see back is Jason Williams, but I've been saying that from day one. And I'll recant on what I said in a previous podcast. Drew Miller's been great. And like you said, Tyler, on the penalty kill, they were even discussing in the last broadcast against Philly that Rafalski doesn't see as much PK time now because you can put Drew Miller out and Patrick Eves out, and, you know, we're pretty deep on the PK. So I'd obviously like to see Eves back and Miller back again. I think they've been great and cheap and way better, way more worth the money than Jason Williams has been.
If Eves survives this season, too.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. That poor guy. Jesus.
He just gets a beating.
He just, God, that game where he took one in the leg, then he took one in the chest, and he just keeps going. That guy is a warrior, man. He is a warrior. But nobody, not one of you, takes employee number 44. What's going on? Nobody wants Todd Bertuzzi back, huh?
You know, Bert's scored, what, 18 goals? He scored when no one else is scoring. That's true. But, God, man, it's so hard to look past the fact he looks so old out there. I mean, I've never seen a guy.
He's so old.
Besides, like, say, Chelios in his last couple of years, when you ever see Chelios, like, where he would have the puck on a pseudo breakaway, they forget how to skate. They're stumbling over their own skates, and it's like, you almost feel sorry for Bert, you know, but it's like, you know, he's going to cost you too much and he's worth, and you just got to move on.
Hmm. Anybody else? Anybody else feel strongly one way or another on Mr. Bertuzzi?
I'm going to say that I don't want him to come back.
But and I you're just going to leave it? You're going to leave it at that so he doesn't come stab you in your sleep?
That's all I'm saying.
I think he'll be back, though. Kenny said he wanted him back. I think we should all prepare ourselves for the distinct possibility that Bertuzzi may be back next season.
Ooh,
prepare now.
Why?
Yes.
It's good. It'll be interesting. It will be interesting. Here's my take, and I'll throw myself in here. I agree with all of you. I think it's Eves and Miller, and I like Drew Miller for this reason, is that even if he doesn't play a lot next year, the Wings obviously can get him on the cheap. He, in my mind, will, in 5 years, if he stays with the Wings, be one of the greatest steals of Kenny Holland's GMing career. Because this guy, he's a good player. He's a very good player who just needed to be in the right system. He is like a Dan Cleary. He's the new Patrick E. Like, for lack of a better term, these are very similar guys. We're going to be losing Draper and Maltby after next season. Like, we just need to start understanding that these guys are done. You know? Holmstrom is on his way out too. These are the chippy, grinding type of guys. And I know Abdelkader's coming up, and that's fine. I don't know that we have another guy in that system though that can come in with that kind of a game. And I think Miller is most suited to do something like that because that's what he does. He needs to bulk up a little bit. Let's be honest here. He does get pushed around in the corners a bit. He's not as strong as he needs to be, but I remember when they said that about Ville Leino. I mean, now you look at Leino and you look at Miller in a fight in the corner and it's like a cripple fight. I mean, honestly, here's the thing. I like both of them, but Miller, I think, will be a great steal. I think we'll work him out. We'll get him built up. I think he comes back on the cheap. I think he sits a few games next year while we kind of, do the Maltby Draper farewell tour out of Detroit. I think they'll play some time, but I think Miller will sit there and he will advance his game greatly by sitting behind them. Patrick Eaves, if we get rid of Patrick Eaves, it's foolish. I mean, there's no way in hell that they can get rid of him. I agree, though. Bertuzzi, he's a decent player. He's had a good season. I just don't see how he fits. He's not a natural fit. If Hudler comes back, Bertuzzi's gone. If Hudler doesn't come back, maybe you keep Bertuzzi around, depending on how much of a pay cut Lidstrom takes or how much of the discount, if we can get him down to $4 million or something like that. So. It's going to be a numbers thing. Not that I think it'll go all the way down to $4 million, but it's going to be a big numbers thing down the road, and we'll see what happens. But I like Miller. I like Eaves. Bring him back. Bring him back for another go around. Lock those kids up for the long haul. Yep. So, oh man, I can't believe nobody with Jason Williams. Obviously, Tyler. I know you like him though, but what's up?
I don't hate him as much as everybody else does.
No.
I do have fun reading about people who do hate him. Like, Jess, you can have just 5 minutes right now and talk about how much you don't like him. That'd be fine.
That's fine. Just go. Just start.
Yeah, just go ahead. Do your head. Call him like a fuck or something, whatever you say.
A fuck.
Yes.
That's a first, Tyler.
You've never said that?
A fuck.
Yeah, you... I don't know. That sounds like a word you make up, and I read that you wrote.
Well, I appreciate it. But...
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh my god, it is deteriorated. Speaking of,
it's speaking late of over some, here, Hollis.
Speaking of some, let's talk about the last team into the Western Conference final or playoffs here. Calgary and Colorado. One of the last questions that we got moving along.
I thought I had 5 minutes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You want your 5 minutes? Go.
No, no, no. Already took away. Where am I supposed to go now?
Dude, you can say whatever you want to say. I don't care. Everybody... I can't wait for the emails about this one. I don't know. Do you want 5 minutes?
No,
I'm
good. I'm good. I'm just kidding. I'll behave.
That's fine.
I'm good.
Who says anything about behaving? That's no fun. Calgary, Colorado. Who's the last team in, guys? Somebody pick it up and go. I don't even care. Answer the listener's question.
Calgary had their fire sale in the end of January. They're done. They were done at the end of January. Colorado's got more talent.
They are.
Aren't they just odd? They eczema. Like their entire environment.
Has there been any bigger bust this year than Jay Bomeister? Oh my god.
Oh, wow.
That guy. Wow. I remember when Calgary picked him up in the offseason, everybody was like, oh, Bomeister, he's going to make them a Stanley Cup contender. Holy crap, he has done nothing for that team. Yep. Nothing. Nothing. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens. I wouldn't mind seeing the Dive miss the playoff, though. That'd be pretty sweet. Remember when everybody wanted to crown them champions and, oh, they're the greatest team ever, and, oh, Craig Anderson's, he should be starting for Team USA, and now, yeah. Now it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun busting on them, but I don't know.
I don't think they miss out.
No?
They have, I think, a game in hand over Calgary. I think both, now I'm just going off memory, which is never good when you're recording, but, I think the Flames play the Sharks and I think the Kings or the Blackhawks. So they got two tough games left. I think as long as the Avs get scrounged 4 points out of possible eight over their last four, they should be good.
Yeah. I hear that. I feel that. Yeah, that brings an extra, kind of an interesting question. I don't know. If the playoffs started today and you're looking at your matchups and it's what we have right now, it's San Jose against either Calgary or Colorado. And then you've got LA against Chicago,
yeah.
And then Detroit, Vancouver, and then the 4-5 is Nashville, and who am I thinking of here? Phoenix. Which one of those matchups, guys? When you look at it, like you step back and you kind of look at it, which one's the most intriguing to you? Because the West is so interesting this year, and that it's so balanced. Anybody can come out of the West this year, I think, minus whoever gets that 8 seed. And not be a surprise. 7 up, I think, set from the 7 seed up. Any one of those teams makes it to the Stanley Cup Finals, and I wouldn't be surprised. So, I don't know, Jess, I'll start with you. You look at all those other matchups, if they started today, and which one kind of stands out to you as could be a real good one in the first round?
See, I think the Phoenix and Nashville matchup would be interesting because both clubs could definitely use a long playoff run. And a first-round exit is definitely not going to be helpful to their cause, Phoenix or Nashville. Nashville's kind of been like the forgotten, you know, club in Tennessee there, and obviously the Coyotes have their clusterfuck that's going on. So I think it'll be an interesting one because they both absolutely need it, and go Coyotes in that one.
Oh, pulling the hometown cry. I feel bad for Nashville sometimes because we beat their ass every year and it seems like in the playoffs. It seems like we always draw them in the first round, except for last year they didn't make it, but... You know, and then they get all excited and they get out their little tutu whistles and they blow
up. Oh, I hate those damn whistles. Oh, that's enough reason to have no sympathy with those stupid freaking whistles.
hey, who knows, man? They got a nice little fan base down there. I have no problem. I think Nashville's a nice city, but I don't know. They've given us problems. I think Phoenix has given us problems. So, okay. Joe, I'll throw it to you, though. When you look at the rest of those series, if they were to play out and watch, now they're just going to get totally thrown in the blender now that we've done this, and we're going to get on the show next week, and when we have the mega playoff extravaganza show, we're all going to get on here and be talking about different matchups. But looking at it right now, if you had to pick one of those matchups, which one stands out to you?
You know, the one that's most intriguing to me right now is the Blackhawks-Kings, because it really depends what Kings team shows up. You know, if it's the Kings team that shows up that can score and stop goals, man, and they can push Chicago 6-7 games maybe, you know, they need to start wavering Chicago's, you know, confidence, you know, whether they win that series or not. And that team's young. If you can get the first-round team to push them 6-7 games and waver that confidence a little bit, and they got the Hossa curse going for them, you know, that would be ideal for any team to take them on in the second round. So
the Hossa curse, I forgot about dun, that, dun, definitely. Dun, dun, dun. How about Kopetsky? He scored. He scored yesterday.
I forgot about him.
Remember him? Remember when Boschman punched his face into pieces? And that was the last we ever saw of him. But Tyler, to you, man, when you look at these matchups, what do you see him?
I like Kings, Blackhawks, or Kings. Yeah. Anybody really? I like the Kings.
Absolutely.
I don't have any. You know, I don't have a whole lot of other. You know, my favorite team after the Red Wings, really. But I like this year's version of the Kings. I think they're really interesting.
I think they can do some serious damage. I think there's something about them that the people take. Don't take them. I don't know why they've had a good season and people just don't take them seriously. It doesn't feel like, but
they play people really tough. I don't want to, like we were talking about earlier, there's such a fine line between each and every one of these teams, but I'd probably rather play a Nashville or a Vancouver, maybe even Chicago early over the Kings. I just don't like the way we look against the Kings, really, in any of the games we played this year, you know.
No, they're
very simple. Give up 52 shots or 54 shots, whatever it was, to them. That was startling.
That game was brutal, man. That was the one we won. Then we go out there and we outshoot them and lose two or whatever. Or no, we played them at, was it our place? I don't remember. When we lost, it was a Saturday afternoon, and it was the day of the outdoor game at Camp Randall between Michigan and Wisconsin. There, we actually lost.
I remember we lost another night game in Detroit. So.
Oh, God. I don't know what it is. They've got good puck-moving defensemen. They're strong back there. Skideri's obviously there. Jack Johnson. Real good, they're good hockey players, and Kopitar can score with the best of them, and Frolov, and the goaltending's really heating up for them. A really interesting situation there. Now you've got Quick, who obviously is this Team USA guy. He's a good goaltender. He's been my fantasy team all season. He's done me pretty well. But then Steve Bernier is coming on now too, and he's playing well. So I think out of every team I look at, the Kings, maybe I just don't know enough about them, but they do make me nervous. They make me nervous, and I think I'd really like to see them play Chicago in the first round and really, really give Chicago some fits. I think it would be an excellent series. But I don't know. They control their own destiny on that sixth spot, so it'll be interesting to see if we can hold them and keep them at bay. But somebody's gonna have to help us out for that to happen, and we all know how that's gone this year, so we'll see. We'll see. Oh, guys, it's been a crazy discussion. We've had some new words from Tyler. You know, he's making some new topics up for us here. Educating us. And, you said you wanted a lesson in swearing beforehand, and I think that you
well, see how
I think
really
you need one.
You put yourself out there. That's what you did, though. guys, great show, guys. I've had some fun with that. Now it's obviously time for the last word to throw it to you guys. We are in the home stretch. We have three games to go. We've talked about all these crazy situations, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the last three games. So, Joe, we'll start with you. I'll open it up to you, man. Last word, any final thoughts you want to share?
I said it before in January, man. They're going to finish in sixth. That's as simple as that. Sixth spot.
So
Osgood's going to finish the year with a win. You watch.
Well, interesting question, because how many wins short of, what is it, 400 is he or something
four.
Like that? Is it?
Four,
so he can't do it.
No.
So he can't do it in the regular season. Oh.
Dude.
High drama.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, maybe if he would have stopped Daniel Carcillo yesterday, he would have gotten that win.
That's true.
Yeah. Just a thought. All right, Joe's in sixth. Joe's confident.
Good thing he'll be back next year, so.
And there it is. They'll get him there. They'll get him there, whether it may take 2 years, but we'll see what happens. But Joe is confident in the sixth spot for the Wings. Hey, man, more power to you. More power to you with that. I like it. Jess, to you. Final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the rest of the regular season. Not too concerned. Just happy to finally getting that 19th consecutive playoff appearance, because I'll be honest, I was nervous. So just enjoying the rest of the ride. For once.
We would have never, known that you were nervous. We would have never, ever known.
Thank you. I hide it well.
You do. You and that pure mouth of yours just hide it so well. Never any doubt. Never any doubt. Tyler, final word, my man.
I'm going to say I think we're going to finish seventh and then end up with a real exciting first-round series against the Blackhawks. And that's all I got. I never know what to say for the final word. Because I always think of one word to say, like...
Word.
Word. Schrodenfreed.
Nice.
Yeah. Excellent.
That's
Schrodenfreed. That's my... final word. Signing off.
Do you guys want me to like throw a topic at you from now on or something? I mean, we can update when we go to TOV season 2. Maybe I'll start throwing a topic out there, but I don't know.
It's much better. It's organic. It's real life, man. It's just
Final word, go Tigers. Yeah, go Tigers. How about the Tigers? An 8-4 win today. Undefeated.
Comeback.
1-0. We are going to the World Series. I love it. Chalk it up right now. How about them Tigers? That was a great win today. Guys, it's, like I said, been a great show. You know, this is the first one back since Herm to Hockey Town. We all had a blast there. Joe, I know you weren't there. We wish you would have been there because it was awesome. It was a great time. I know everybody had a blast. There's pictures up. If you guys want to see all of the shenanigans, if you already haven't seen them, go to Herm2HockeyTown.com. You can see Herm on TV. The guy is a freaking celebrity in Detroit now. I kid you not. There's just people. Everybody knows Herm. Everybody was on the evening news. He was on the pregame. Apparently, he was on Wingspan today. I didn't even get to see that. So if somebody has that, send it to me because apparently I was on there too. But I'd love to see it. Tyler enjoyed my beard apparently.
You were all over that show, man.
Really?
Yeah.
They talked to me for a while.
You had like three different clips on there.
Nice.
Oh, you man. Talking. And then there was like me and Herm watching bubble hockey.
Nice. Which, by the way, was the best, most unexpected surprise of that party was the bubble hockey table.
Oh, I
was
know.
Very excited. When we got there, and I was like, oh man, look at this bubble hockey table. This is great, you know, and there it was, so. And the pool table, Hockey Town Cafe, we gotta give mad props to Hockey Town Cafe. They
Definitely.
Hooked us up with an awesome setup up on the private room there on the third floor. It was a blast. We had a great time. I probably drank a little bit too much, but hey, what can you say? Great time. It was all for Herm. It was all for the kids. We wound up raising over $5,500.
Incredible.
I believe, so everybody that was involved, you know, everybody that donated, here's a, you know, a big round of applause to you guys. Pat on the back. It was great. And I know we're all looking forward to, H2H2 or whatever we're calling it. Herm to Hockey Town Redux. Who knows? It'll be a good time, but I think we all enjoyed meeting each other and I'm ready to do it again. So, and I miss you guys. I do. I miss everyone deeply, but next week we'll be back. I'll be back to normal. It'll be great. Guys, next week we're going to be back with the, with a special show. It will be the TOV playoff special. We're going to bring on as many of the TOV regulars that want to come on, and we're just going to have a huge smorgasbord cluster of whatever.
You were going to say orgy. You were going to say
It almost came out. It did. I didn't think you would appreciate it though, Tyler, but.
I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here.
So next week, guys, join us. We're going to chat it up. We're going to talk, all about the playoffs and we'll have an opponent and we'll be getting ready to go. But until then, you can keep checking us out on Twitter. Follow us at RedWingsOV, twitter.com/RedWingsOV. Check out the Facebook fan page. Joe's been doing a great job keeping that up and getting stuff up over there. Just do a little search for us for the Obstructed View on Facebook. You can find us there. And, you know, shoot us emails, theobstructedview@gmail.com. You want a question answered on the show, just like everybody today, feel free, send it over and we'll get to them. Thanks for all the questions that we had today. It was fun. Until next week then, signing off for Joe Burkle from RedWingsGuy.com, Jess from Bingo Bango, Tyler from the Triple Deke, I'm Chris Hollis, and we will talk to you next week when we get ready for some playoffs. So, go Wings. Go Tigers.